Good morning, everybody. This is Lori Wilson with you on Community Voice. Welcome to Wednesday. It is Dick Backert Day. Good morning, Dick Backert. How are you?
Good morning, Lori. How are you?
I am well. You and I have been talking. By the way, we're noticing that your voice is my little boy who's now 27, but when he was little, he described the voice that you have as grumbly and darkly soft.
Oh my goodness! Well, I appreciate that, but my vocal cords, when I get a little infection down there, and they grow about 2 inches, and I sound like Everett Dirksen, from the senator from Illinois many years ago.
Wow, that is the one obscure reference, man.
Yes, indeed, obscure.
Well, let's just build on the obscurity of today's Wednesday show. actually, not obscure at all. I want to talk to begin with about the president's speech about the wall. It was very I thought it was a very solemn and well phrased speech that he delivered. What do you think?
Very, very presidential, if I may use that term, and statesmanlike, and to the point. And unfortunately, he was not able to impale the Democrats upon the points. But what I noticed, the dichotomy between his speech and the rebuttal by the two alleged leaders of the Democrat Party, all they could talk about was the government shutdown. There wasn't one mention in anything Pelosi and Schumer said that I could hear that had to do with the fact that we've got 22 plus million illegals in this country that cost us $150 billion a year in welfare and other related costs, and they couldn't balance that out against a $5.6 billion request for funds for the wall. Absolutely blows my mind. These people are living in a parallel universe somewhere.
Well, the talking heads on Hannity after the speech were talking about how all of the above, everybody you just named, were all about funding the wall. When was it? A few years ago, when Obama...
Yeah, 2009. Yeah, they were all on board that one, but, you know, when Obama was in office, this is all about hatred for Trump.
That's all it is. This is it. This is obstruction out of pure spite.
He's an interloper. How dare he win that election?
Well, he did.
What does that tell you about how they feel about the rest of us out here?
Oh, I mean, they hold us in complete contempt, and I
total
loved
disdain.
It. Right.
Yeah, exactly.
I loved it that Trump said what many of us have said, that, you know, the same members of Congress who are refusing to fund the people, you know, this wall, this border, which is one of the only things that we need them for, honestly. They have 10-foot walls, and they should have 10-foot walls, said he, because they love the people who live within those walls. So the rest of us can go hang, I suppose.
Yeah, no, we can fend for ourselves out here.
Well, and we're racist and xenophobic.
Oh, sure,
yeah.
Sure. Sure, but we can come up with money to help Israel and a number of other nations build multi-million-dollar fortifications around their property. But we try to do it.
No,
I'm sorry. No, this country belongs to the world, and anybody who wants to come here, legal or illegal, come ahead. Well, the welcome mat's down.
I don't understand where they get off, and if they're going to get away with it this time, being so blatantly illogical. You know, that it's so clear to anybody who has eyes to see that they just hate Trump. And it's sort
from
of...
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, go.
From their perspective, this makes absolutely perfect sense for the $150 billion that we cough up for welfare for these illegals here every year. They get dedicated, loyal Democrat voters. And I'm convinced that they stole a number of these races that the Democrats allegedly won in this last election. But the Republicans, I don't know why we don't have enough spine in the Republican Party to go after these situations.
I mean, it seems
and
to
so
me,
they continue to get away with it.
I agree with you. I think that there's a quality of conservatism that I just don't think that we have the same kind of wiring, intellectual wiring.
It's the old communist mantra that it's all about the struggle, mm-hmm. and whatever advances the struggle is just fine. Go ahead and do it. You know, if you have to put people in re-education camps, and if you can't re-educate them, kill them. We've seen that throughout history. We talked about that briefly before the program.
Yeah, in fact, that's our third segment. So
and we'll talk about it a little bit later. But this, where the Democrats would have us go, is first to a very mild-mannered form of socialism, and then we'd move on to a stricter form of socialism, because socialism cannot be put into place in a formerly free system without coercion and force. It'll then go on to full-blown communism, mm-hmm. and then to the re-education camps, and then, if necessary, the elimination of dissenters.
Because it's never enough. They never get enough.
Yeah.
So conservatives, I mean, I'm not, of course, none of us are perfect, et cetera, but we just want, all we want is to just don't. Just out of my life, I'll pay my taxes, please just leave me alone. And so we're off doing our own thing. We don't need to have people do things for us. In fact, we prefer not to do so. We like the free market, and we like, you know, the voluntary exchanges of goods and mm-hmm. services yep. privately. Whereas their whole collectivist agenda requires that everybody participate in a way that the government or the government of their dreams dictates.
Their system is a human nature denying liberty, or human nature defying liberty denying system of totalitarian utopianism. Human nature doesn't operate the way these people on the left think it does. The founding fathers, who knew history, who knew human nature, who studied history and the rise and fall of previous civilizations, knew what they were trying to prevent here. And they have for 240 some years. But we are on the cusp of joining some of these earlier civilizations on the ash heap of history. And by God, if we keep doing it, and if you folks out there, any of you, are still voting for Democrats, I don't care if it's down to dog catcher. Mm-hmm. Turn in your birth certificate, because you're not an American.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, no, I can't say it strongly enough.
Can we find a are you saying that there are no virtuous Democrats now?
No.
You're not saying that.
Not if they call themselves Democrats. I'm sorry. That doesn't work anymore.
Well, I didn't expect you to say that.
I'm sorry. Well, they can either do that, or we can resume the Civil War that mm-hmm. ended in 1865, but for a different reason.
Well,
it's coming. I'm afraid it's coming.
What do you think it would look like?
Be very ugly, but it wouldn't last very long. Because what the left doesn't understand is if it goes that way, most of the military will come down on our side. Mm-hmm. These young men and women swore an oath to the Constitution, which I think they probably understand better than the average citizen out there who never served. And you know, that's why for example, the bump stock thing we talked about last program doesn't concern me. If it comes to the point where we require automatic weapons, tanks, you name it, we're going to get it, because the doors to armories all over the country will be either opened by friendly members of the National Guard, or we'll simply knock them down. We'll have all the weapons and ammo we need. I pray to God that doesn't happen, but the left is in for a terrible surprise if they do push us to that point.
Well, we're dealing with some very unserious representatives of the people. They're not serious at all, and they spew nonsense. When we get back from this upcoming break, I want to run something past you that I heard occur between Kellyanne Conway and Jim Acosta yesterday.
Oh, well, I'm sure that's rich. Yeah.
It's good. Yeah, I have a transcript of it. And also, let's dive into some of the details of Trump's speech last night. I'd like to get your commentary on it. But first, we're going to hear from Tanner Health System, and we'll be back in 60 seconds. Everybody, take a deep breath. We'll see you on the other side.
At Tanner, we're advancing health throughout West Georgia and East Alabama because we know that exceptional care isn't based on how many patients we serve, but how well we serve them. That's why we're focused on quality, delivering the best possible care for our patients. It's why we're expanding our clinical services and building new facilities to serve our growing community. And it's why we're looking beyond our hospitals and medical practices to develop sustainable wellness and preventive health programs in our region. What makes a hospital great has changed. It's not how many beds we have. It's how well we care for the neighbors who need them. Delivering the right care to every patient, every time, is how Tanner is advancing health with medicine beyond measure. Learn more at Tanner.org or find a physician on our medical staff by calling 770-214-CARE.
You know I can't hear that, right?
No, I know you can't. Yeah, okay. Hey, we're on the air now. We're holding
Golly
that.
Gee. Toto. Hey, big time radio.
That was Toto, right? Hold the line.
Yeah.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Lori Wilson with you. We're talking to Dick Backert because it's Wednesday, and Wednesday means some political talk, and no one does it better than Richard Backert.
Hump Day and Chump Day.
And Trump. Trump Day. I want to play Day. Something for you and our listeners. I listened this morning to a press conference that Kellyanne Conway conducted in the few hours before.
She's tough. I like her.
I love her. Now, here's our old buddy, or our old pal, Jim Acosta. He's the male voice.
The Acosta, yeah.
Yeah. And I just want to, hopefully I've got this queued up correctly, but let's just see what you think of what happens here.
Our border is secure and the government reopens, but they want it to be in the reverse order, which is not really a practical
concern. Can you hear that?
Can you promise that
I cannot.
Okay, doggone it.
Well, just recap it.
Okay, so by the way, everybody, just go to YouTube. Kellyanne Conway addresses media and slams Jim Acosta. And so she's just having this very nice, conversation, exchange with the press. And then, of course, Acosta says at one point, Kellyanne, can you promise that the president's actually going to tell the truth tonight?
Oh boy!
And she just lays into him and says, you know, this is why you are such a grandstander, and this is why I'm never going to call on you again. I'm probably never going to go on CNN again.
Why is he back in the press room? I mean,
CNN.
He should be standing
stuff.
Out at the gate trying to, you know, bribing a guard to get into the White House grounds. I don't know why he's still in there.
But we were talking over the break that. You wanted to sort of pick up on a comment that I made about us having an unserious Democratic Party. This incivility that has become Acosta's new calling card, you know, and that's why, of course, CNN loves it because his job is to say.
He looks like he's performing journalism.
Right, but what he it's just an act. His job is to. Lower the civility.
He's the Father Torquemada of the current Inquisition relative to Donald Trump.
Yeah, and I have no doubt that his CNN overlords are delighted with him.
Of course they are.
So pick up on that theme then that you said over the break, we have become an unserious nation.
Become an unserious people. If you turn on network TV at certain periods of the day, all you will see, and this is not a sexist comment by me, but all you'll see is a bunch of chattering, laughing, backslapping hilarity that has absolutely no meaning to anyone's life except as a diversion. And we spend more time diverting ourselves with nonsense like that than we do communicating our thoughts and ideas to our elected officials. These people, you know, these people we send to operate the levers of power in our country have a lot of power, and it can be a power for good or a power for bad. And a question everyone should ask is, why is it, it's almost axiomatic, why is it that those who enter public office, at the national level especially, mm-hmm. go in with a net worth of, let's say they have $2 million, but they come out and maybe that's tripled or quadrupled. Where did all that money come from on those relatively small salaries that they get for the amount of time they're required to put in on the job and that sort of thing? Well, listen, the level of corruption in our government is would make a carnival barker or a pitch man blush. Mm-hmm. And we are doing very little, if anything, about it.
Well, they're not doing a whole lot to even pretend that that's not the case these days. It's just right there in front of our faces. Who was it recently? I didn't know. My facts are going to be all mixed up, but it seems to me that recently somebody, and I want to say someone along the lines of Rand Paul, introduced legislation or is working on legislation that will, in fact, it's a constitutional amendment to limit terms for senators and congressmen. Have you heard that, term limits?
Well, that argument's been going on for decades.
But I think somebody's actually, I don't know, doing something about it.
You hear a lot of that talk in conjunction with a convention of the states, mm-hmm. which is my jury's still out on that. I don't know how that would go. It might be a blessing and it might be a curse. I just don't know where that's going. But we're getting close to the point where that could be a possibility. But the other thing that is really in my craw is that, and going back to the press thing, Trump looked rather weary and kind of exhausted. And I think it shouldn't be terribly hard to figure out why. He's being assaulted from every side up there. And that has to work on the man. It would work on any human being.
Well, I mean, how many times does somebody have to say, "Oh, Trump is exactly like Hitler"? Before, I mean, I know the guy's got—he's got steel everything. Yeah. But first of all, you talked earlier. This kind of goes to your point about us being unserious. For us to engage in such hyperbole. You know, unless Trump has engineered the extermination of an entire religious or race, don't call him Hitler. It's not the same. You know, that hyperbole empties our language of meaning. And therefore, you know, once again, and I think this is part of the leftist project, is to dissolve the categories by which we understand our lives, male, female, good, bad, right? Good and evil, that all of those categories, they're working so hard to dissolve. And the net result of that is that we can't think. And that's what they want.
Well, this is not original to me, of course, but if the media and the left continue to demonize this man by comparing him to Hitler or Stalin or whatever, if the American people can be convinced that we have in office in Washington an incipient or actual tyrant, and he must be removed, there is no measure inconceivable by which he should be removed, up to and including assassination. And there have been multiple unpublicized attempts on this man. But fortunately, he is.
How do you know? I've never heard that.
There's a pretty serious underground commentary. Folks who track those sorts of things, and stuff leaks out, you know. And speaking of leaking, these people are now going to demand Trump's tax returns. Hey, trust me, we've got the IRS is filled with Obama, Obama people at very high levels. If there were anything in Trump's tax returns, it would be on the front page of the New York Times. It would have been on the front page of the New York Times 2 years ago.
You know, it's almost time for our second break, but I always crack up at in the lead up of a big conversation that is happening on the Hill, or Trump is about to give a speech, and there's always, oh, I don't know, what's that guy, the Michael Moore.
Yeah. You mean the blimp? Yeah, the dirigible.
He and his ilk are always saying tonight's the night when we're gonna catch him in some sort of high treason against the country, and this is it.
Right.
And it's just not happening. And on that point, we're gonna take a break, and when we get back, we're gonna talk a little Gulag Archipelago, huh? How's that sound? Stick around, everyone. We'll be right back.
At Tanner, we're advancing health throughout West Georgia and East Alabama because we know that exceptional care isn't based on how many patients we serve, but how well we serve them. That's why we're focused on quality, delivering the best possible care for our patients. It's why we're expanding our clinical services and building new facilities to serve our growing community. And it's why we're looking beyond our hospitals and medical practices to develop sustainable wellness and preventive health programs in our region. What makes a hospital great has changed. It's not how many beds we have. It's how well we care for the neighbors who need them. Delivering the right care to every patient, every time, is how Tanner is advancing health with medicine beyond measure. Learn more at tanner.org. Or find a physician on our medical staff by calling 770-214-CARE.
Welcome back, everybody. Happy Wednesday. This is the final segment of our January 9th edition of Community Voice with Lori Wilson and Dick Backert. Dick Backert and I were talking over the break about a GoFundMe campaign. Have you been following this, Dick?
I have, yeah. I can't call the young man's name, but he's like a triple amputee, served in the Air Force overseas, and just became very angry about what's going on in connection with the wall and started a GoFundMe, and he's got like $20 million.
Yes, he started 7 days ago.
He doesn't have it, but that money's going to be earmarked for some sort of construction project.
I'm looking at the GoFundMe page right now. His name is Brian Kolfage, K-O-L-F-A-G-E. He's a triple amputee veteran. And as you said, drawing back the curtain on the Wizard of Oz and saying, look, if you guys won't do it, we're going to do it. Come on, people, let's do it. So it's called We the People Will Fund the Wall. In 23 days, he has raised $19,740,521. And that's only with 328,000, maybe 329,000 contributors.
But you know what? If Trump really wanted to do this wall, and he does. I think he's trying to make a point that the Democrats are not on board with protecting this country. But do you know statistically, and this is a rather old statistic, so it may be somewhat worse than it was then, the United States government owns as much land as there is east of the Mississippi around this country. They own a slug of land, property scattered all over, national parks, whatever. Trump could start selling some of these non-productive, non-recreational type areas off to the private sector under some controlled conditions so they don't, put oil derricks all over them unless they're approved by the EPA and all the other agencies. He'd have enough money to build two or three walls if he were to do something like that.
He could also
redirect funds from various defense projects. The Defense Department has the lion's share of the budget. I'm sure he could find $5.6 billion over there. It's, pocket change over at the Pentagon, and he could do it. But he's trying to make a point about the obstructionist behavior of the Democrats.
Well, I think of him as the Bugs Bunny of presidents, because he's just he's running rings around the his opposition. I think we're going to like him even better in the next 2 years when he has to sort of draw a huge contrast between himself and Pelosi and Schumer.
Speaking of whom, did you get the impression that they look like a perverse version of Grant Wood's American Gothic when they reverse the positions of the male and female and give them a pitchfork and there you go?
And it wasn't their best look last night. No. In their rebuttal. They were stiff and let's just say unprepossessing.
Yeah, and Pelosi is now... There are a number of amateur diagnoses of Pelosi that she is in some stage of Alzheimer's dementia. And I've noticed it myself in some of her speaking engagements, slurring words, some tongue action, facial tics. I mean...
Sounds like a regular day in my classroom, actually.
It's all there. And I don't know. I don't know how long they can keep her up there. I suppose they'll have her embalmed and stuffed when she does finally make the big trip. So I don't know.
Well, in the 4 minutes that remain to us, I wanted to tell you guys that for some reason, it'll take too long to tell you, but I have decided to accept a challenge to listen to the entire expurgated,
right, yes.
version of Alexander Solzhenitsyn's Gulag Archipelago. It's a book in three parts, each of which has about 700 pages. And I found a free sort of book on tape. Actually, it's the recording on YouTube of some cassette tapes. And the first chapter or section one is going to take 11 hours. I'm about 8 hours into the 11-hour first.
It's going to take more wine.
No. And I think I'm going to actually play maybe just 5 or 10 minutes of it for my students one of these days and scare the hell out of them. But, the Gulag Archipelago is about his, Solzhenitsyn's, revelations about what happens when a totalitarian state takes over and gets rid of all of the talented people and leaves the government to be run by absolute dunderheads, absolute idiots. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts about that with respect to what we were saying could happen in our country?
That is traditional tyrannical behavior. Think about Ernst Röhm, who was the head of the SA for Hitler. He was the muscle that got Hitler into the Reichstag in 1933. But when Hitler saw that Röhm and his SA might pose a threat, he rewarded Röhm by a few days in jail and a bullet to the back of his head. Mm-hmm. These people who think they're going to be princes in some new world order to another character's king are deluding themselves. That just doesn't happen.
Well, I mean, we now have people in Congress who are openly socialist. They're openly socialist, which is just a half a step. When you have a controlled economy, then you have to have a lot of control over the populace. And Gulag Archipelago is an expose of what actually happens when you have a system of government which prohibits thought, free thought.
My favorite part of Solzhenitsyn's work is his comment that if we'd only known, if before we let them get as far as they ultimately got, we had taken hammers and stood in the dark hallways when they came to make their arrest, the Orgons, the police, and they didn't know that night they might not go home. If they knew that night they might not go home, the terror would stop. I pray to God we don't get there.
Well, it started with disarming the population.
Yep.
And getting rid, again, of people who were capable of critical thought and questioning, and we can't have that.
We could go to a very dark place here in a very short period of time.
And on that dark note, we have to end our conversation.
So get your head out of the oven, people. It's
have
okay.
Have a nice we're day, gonna... everyone.
Okay.
Thanks for being with us, Dig, and thank you, everybody. I'll be back in 23 and a half hours, so I'll see you then. Bye-bye.